Coolest thing going on in Canada that you have never heard of? Well, it is the World Championships of Magic. For the first time ever outside of Europe, being held in Quebec City. Magicians from 50 countries, 110 magicians, are in Canada vying to become the world's top magician. Every 3 years, this competition happens. It's been happening since 1948. Canada has two competitors, and one of the competitors literally just walked off stage, the great Sean Cobalt, Toronto-based magician. He's competing at the World Championships of Magic, Shane Cobalt, rather. And Shane joins us right now. He's just come back off stage. Shane Cobalt.
Hello, sir.
How are you? Okay, so no one knows about this thing. I just want to tell you, I love magic. So I just want to give you the entire show.
Amazing.
This is an amazing thing. I mean it. I love a good magic show. Tell me about what this is, and then we'll get to your particular thing. What is the World Championships of Magic?
So the World Championship of Magic is something called FISM. It's by the organization called the Federal International Society of Magic, but in French, of course. And it happens, like you said, every 3 years at a various city around the world. And it's just like the Olympics. Each city puts a bid in. They talk about like why it should be done in these different places. And they get added or taken away depending on what's going on. So like right now, the next one I think is supposed to be 2025. And I believe it's supposed to be in Torino, Italy. But this is the first time it's ever been done in North America. Never been to the United States. It's never been to Canada. It's been in, you know, China, Korea, different places. But it's never been here. So
how did you qualify? Like, there's only, as I understand it, you know, 110 magicians. How did you qualify?
I think there's about 150 magicians.
Okay.
I could be wrong about that. I think it's 150. There's 50 up to. That's the absolute maximum. I think there's less than that. So I qualified in September of 2021, where there was, like, the North American Championship of Magic. And I put myself forth for close-up card magic. I did an act, and they seemed to enjoy it. So here we are. There's a very particular rubric of what you can and cannot do score-wise. So I had to put together an act and then perform it in front of a judge, a jury, and they judge the act. And based on the merit of the points scored, you need to have a certain threshold. You have to be over a certain number, and then you can actually compete and represent your country. And then they have to also sponsor you on top of it. So there's a few moving parts.
So I'm speaking to Shane Cobalt, Toronto-based magician, competing in the World Championships of Magic. This is crazy. So, like, you are close card magic, which I love, by the way. But what about if someone says, oh, look, I'm David Copperfield, I'm going to make this truck disappear? Like, are you competing against that stuff, or is it there is close card
Great
magic
question.
As one category, and then there's elephants disappearing as another one?
Yeah, so, you know, think of it, I guess, in some ways, I say it's like figure skating, you know? You have people that, let's say, work in pairs. In this situation, it's not very often, but we do break it up into stage magic and close-up magic, and then each one of those two categories has small subgenres. So for me, for example, I'm very specifically close-up card magic, so I can only use playing cards in my act. Other people might be using coins and small objects and things, and they would typically be what's called micro magic, so it's like a bunch of different stuff, but it falls under micro magic, so sort of small stuff in the hands. And then we have parlor magic, which is sort of things you may expect to see in your living room, someone standing up before you, but it's still relatively close up. Then on the stage side of things, they break off into like what you were mentioning, like cars disappearing and stuff like that, which would be considered like grand illusion. So there's a stage competition, there's the illusion category, there's like a comedy element. So there's all these different subgenres that kind of like break out after that. And then we kind of go from there.
And then it's whittled down to be, and then you're eventually, it's like, you know, you're best in show. Now, you do the kind of magic that I remember growing up. The greatest guy I remember was a guy called Ricky Jay. Remember Ricky Jay? Obviously.
Oh, what a name to bring up. Yeah, Ricky was extraordinary, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was great. And I remember a friend of mine, I got to know David Benn, who's a great Toronto magician.
He is here, funny enough.
Yes, well, David Benn's a great guy. And so just tell me, how did you get into magic? And do you have to come up with, Shane, your own trick? Like, when you can't just do a classic. You have to come up with a new card trick that people are like, Shane's bringing the heat.
It's a good question. It works both ways. So a big part of it is, and actually, funny enough, in the act that I was doing just now, I'm a big fan of classic magic. And to me, it's the most pure. It's the same as someone picking up like a piece by Mozart or Tchaikovsky and playing it. You know, it never gets old. It's always beautiful and brilliant. And we know exactly how people kind of enjoy or don't enjoy it. But the difference is, how do you make it your own? So I try to take a very old classics of magic, or even secrets of magic, lost secrets. We have stories about tricks where, like, we don't actually know how they were done. That's my world. I love finding old lost secrets of magic and then bringing them back to life again. So this particular act started off with a very, very big legend of magic, Scarny's Aces, which is a gentleman from the 1920s in New York at about 19 years old, apparently took a brand new deck of cards, had it shuffled, and then was able to cut to the four aces. And that story was just, became legend. It's like, how is this possible? How is this possible? So I went a step further with it. I will try to add one more brushstroke to some of these masterpieces if I can. And in my instance, I said, well, you know what? Instead of the four aces, someone in the audience, name any four of a kind. And they name any card that they want, any four
cards.
And
you can cut to that? And your trick is that if I said, I want the eights, the spades, the diamond, the clubs, and the heart, and you will cut all four.
Exactly. Not only that, but I take them out. You see them go shuffling back in. It's a brand new deck of cards. And then after the cards get shuffled, I actually ask you, how would you like me to do it? You want them to be on the top of the deck, the bottom of the deck, or the face of the packet that I cut? Where do you want them? And they tell me what they want. I do a couple of shuffles, and I do exactly that.
How long did that take you to learn?
My entire life.
Is that that's a trick of a lifetime, right? Like, this is not like, I worked on it on a Saturday. Those are lifetime tricks. And when other, like, it's one thing to perform for a guy like me who's just going to go, wow. I mean, that's what it's there for. When you do it in front of other magicians, are you more nervous because you know they are looking in a way that you would look, professionals looking at this?
Well, most definitely. I mean, when you're performing for magicians and stuff, it's a bit of a different ball game. The big thing I would say is that like my hands shake, for example. So there's a couple moments in the act where like my nerves are just, my hands always shake anyway a little bit, but certainly my hands were a little more shaky than normal. So it's, it's nerve-wracking. I mean, I'm in front of my heroes. You know, I've got people in the audience that I have so much respect for that are coming out of, like, from all walks of life, from all parts of the earth, like, they're all traveling here, and now I have their undivided attention for 10 minutes.
So are you done? So you've just done your, you just got off stage, so how many more performances do you have?
That's it. It depends. If I do well, then there would be a gala on Saturday, and they let us know, I believe, tomorrow evening. So at this point, I get to kind of relax. I mean, as much as one can while waiting for results of a competition like that.
Oh my God, I want to be there so bad. First of all, good luck. I'm sure you did great. You must have been. You must be on a weird high right. I can't even believe you're on the radio with me. I'm speaking to Shane Cobalt. He just finished like the trick of his. Are you looking at other magicians now and some of the tricks? And are you like, holy Mackinac? There's some good stuff out there.
You know what? No. The answer, if I'm being completely honest, the answer is no. I don't want to see anybody else's act. And it's not because they're brilliant. It's because they probably are brilliant. I don't need that kind of stress in my life right now.
Oh,
I'm like, I've done my bit, you know? And I mean, of course I would love to sit there and watch them. But like, I mean, I'm competing right now. So my mindset was this. Watching them is not going to make my magic better. All it can do is make me more nervous.
Oh,
if
my
I
God.
See one act, I go, man, that's the act.
Okay.
I can't do anything with it. So instead I was like, you know what? I'll take a step back. I'm just going to do my thing in isolation. And then after this is all said and done, then I can take a breath. I can relax.
So folks, please follow Shane Cobalt, Toronto-based magician. By the way, one of our texters said, are you from Aurora? Because someone went to high school with him. Are you from Aurora?
That is exactly right.
Okay, so one of our texters went to high school with you. That's Shane Cobalt.
That's so funny.
Shane Cobalt, good luck. We really hope you keep moving on in the World Championship of Magic in Quebec City. That's Shane Cobalt. He is magic.